Welcome into Gov Today. I'm Eamon Lynch alongside Damon Hack, and let's hope we're going to see a finish at the RTJ course along the lines of what we saw from Mirabelle Ting in
Incredible.
Michigan.
Birdie barrage down the stretch from the Florida State player. And how about Arizona?
Can we get her on the team before
I know,
Friday's
right?
matches?
What a baller. And congrats to Arizona as well, who got the W in the team competition. The men, of course, follow us at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, that final from Michigan. Now, speaking of team golf, take a closer look at the United States Solheim Cup team. Let's go kind of inside the numbers. The average age you see, 27.33. That's their age based on the first match come Friday. But you'll notice something here. The average Rolex ranking higher than the Europeans, but the U.S. combined record is worse, and the Americans don't have the experience of the Europeans. The U.S., of course, looking for its first win in this competition since 2017 in Des Moines, Iowa. Alexi Thompson, of course, a staple of the U.S. team, one of Stacey Lewis's captain's picks this year. She made her debut in the Solheim back in 2013 at the Colorado Golf Club. Listen to that crowd. She was just 18 years old at the time, the youngest American to compete in the Solheim Cup since it began in 1990. And overall, she's put together a winning record, 9-7-7 overall. Lexi, of course, announced in May that 2024 will be her final season, so this is expected to be her final Solheim Cup. And with more on Lexi, let's welcome in Amy Rogers, who is on site at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club. Good afternoon, Amy.
Hey there, Damon. Well, this could be the final Solheim Cup for Lexi Thompson, who has just been a fixture for the U.S. side since 2013. She announced earlier this season that she intends to walk away from full-time competition and even playing a limited schedule over the last two seasons. She needed to rely on a pick in order to make this team. Now, Paula Creamer is an assistant captain this year. She played on three Solheim Cups with Lexi Thompson dating back to 2013 when Thompson first represented the U.S. side. And I asked Creamer yesterday what sort of impact Thompson has had, and she said that she has changed women's golf. Angela Stanford, also an assistant this year for the U.S. side, has teamed up with Thompson, and she said that Lexi Thompson has helped to elevate the Solheim Cup to what it is today. Well, Captain Stacey Lewis was also asked earlier today about Thompson, about her legacy, and that this is what she had to say.
Legacy is her in the Solheim Cup. Just the way she is with the crowd and the fans, this event is Lexi to a T. She's just the kind of player that plays better golf here. She gets more excited to play golf here at these events. And she's one of those, like, you could literally pair with anybody and she's like, I'll figure it out. You know, she was testing a golf ball the other day that was going like 7 or 8 yards shorter with a wedge. And she's like, it's okay, I'm just gonna get my numbers, I'm good. Where anybody else would just be freaking out that a wedge is going that much shorter, she's like, it's fine, I'll get my numbers. You know, and so she's just that kind of person. Like, she's gonna do whatever it takes to win, and I wish I had 12 of them.
Thompson is appearing in her 7th Solheim Cup this week, and it's hard to imagine that she wouldn't someday be a captain or an assistant captain for the U.S. side. And earlier today, I asked Thompson what it is she thinks her future looks like when it comes to being a part of Team USA.
Yeah, I haven't thought too much ahead, but of course, I mean, I'd love to be still a part of it in any way, just because I know how special it's meant to me and how many memories and relationships and friendships I've made throughout the Solheim Cup. So I'd love to be a part of it, and kind of learning off the assistants and Stacey, of course, and I know there's a lot that goes into it, so I'll have to make sure that I'm ready for that. I'm focusing on the golfing part now.
Stacey Lewis has captained the U.S. team for the last two Solheim Cups. And when I spoke with her a few weeks ago when she announced her captain's picks, she told me this is it for her. She is not going to captain the U.S. side again in this next Solheim Cup. She said that she feels like there's a real pipeline of players now that can take the helm for the U.S. side. And I've heard that they plan to announce the next Solheim Cup captain before the end of this year. So Thompson could very well throw her hat in the ring, possibly be in the mix ahead of that next Solheim Cup in 2026 in the Netherlands.
We are back on Golf Today. How about Scotty Scheffler capping off an incredible 2024 with a win at the Tour Championship, claiming for the first time the FedEx Cup family in tow. pugs for the cat. I mean, what a year just living on leaderboard. Should we remind you? 7-win season. He says 8, and I think he's right. You include that Olympic gold medal in Paris. 13 career wins now for the world number one. And I got to say, not alone among Team TaylorMade staffers. Colin Morikawa finished second, seemed to find his game in the spring. Nelly Korda, Charlie Hall, going to see them at the Solheim Cup this week. Pleased to be joined now by the CEO and president of TaylorMade Golf. He, of course, David Abeles. It's great to see you, David. We appreciate the time. How about a year like Scottie Scheffler? What does that mean for Team TaylorMade in the hallways and maybe even from a financial standpoint?
Yeah, thanks, Damon. Eamon, great to see you both again. Exceptional year. And I'd like to think that the momentum started at AT&T when his partner, who happened to be me, finished tied 6th with him in the Pro-Am. So I'd like to think that that's where the momentum started, but I don't think I could take a whole lot of credit for that. It's been an absolutely extraordinary, a remarkable year for Scottie, for TaylorMade, in terms of our tour performance. He obviously, he has been exceptional with what we call 8 wins. I know 7 official wins on the PGA Tour, 1 major, the Players' Championship, the gold medal, each one which has its own level of importance and influence, not only Scottie as a player, our company, in the industry, but certainly golfers as a whole. It's been terrific. You know, it gives us the opportunity to promote the world's best player, world number one, gives us the opportunity to explain and further define product performance through his bag. You know, we launched QI10 this year, which is one of the most advanced technology products we've ever brought to market in the form of our new Woods line. And certainly the Forged product that he plays in, P7, TWs, putting a spider putter in play. Each one of these moments in time further enables us to explain to golfers at every skill level how our products can continue to enhance performance and ultimately lead to victories. So the energy around the building, you asked, is simply extraordinary. Every day we root for our athletes, whether it's Scottie, Rory, Colin had an exceptional year this year. Nelly, Charlie, go right down the list. Tommy Fleetwood with a silver medal. Esther Henslett with a silver medal. It's just been a phenomenal year for our athletes and for our brand and our products. And we celebrate that, recognize that in the world of golf.
David, before Scottie was a dominant number one, it was Tiger Woods. And that's Tiger's logo we see on your chest right there, the Sunday Red, which you have a partnership with him. How did that come about? I'd heard it began at a meeting at the Open in St. Andrews a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you have, Eamon, as always, inside perspective that's second to none. Yeah, ironically, as the story goes, we met over a cold bagel and a cold cup of coffee on a very cool day in Scotland to discuss the potential viability of building something very special together. There you see Tiger, ironically, in the same shirt I'm wearing today. That was actually coincidental. And, you know, Tiger really wanted to start thinking about his future, his legacy, how to build a brand that modeled his values, both in terms of design language and performance, and ultimately leading with the athlete and enabling golfers that are either influenced by Tiger, admire Tiger, or simply just want world-class golf apparel and ultimately lifestyle apparel to be available to them. And so that was the genesis of the idea that given morning in Scotland. And then earlier this year, February at Genesis, we launched the brand to the world and shared this new logo, which is 15 stripes representing his 15 majors on this Tiger logo. The inside joke is from Tiger, and I think this ultimately will be true at some point in time, is what do we do when he wins 16? And my answer to him was, well, we'll rebuild the logo and add another stripe. Which will be a lot of fun, and we look forward to doing that as well. But ultimately, we've been hard at work. Our team at Sunday Red, we built an entire organization around this initiative and this business. They're based up in San Clemente, California. Great leadership, great designers, great individuals that understand the game of golf and technology, and then ultimately, as I mentioned, extensions into lifestyle. So we launched the brand February at Genesis, Tiger's event up in L.A., we officially began selling Sunday Red product, only available at this time on sundayred.com on May the 1st. And what we're most excited about is the start that we have, but more so, we're now bringing the Logo collection, which is part of our heritage range, to market tomorrow morning, September 12th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. The products that you have seen Tiger wearing that really have created a lot of interest around the world of golf, domestically and internationally, is now going to be available for sale tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time on our website. So we've come a long way in a very short period of time. We're just getting started. We couldn't be more excited about the progress we're making and the impact that this brand, Sunday Red, is having in golf.
David, Tiger Woods, one of the greatest pitchmen that we've seen in the history of sports. Scottie Scheffler, maybe a little more reticent, not as much as an extrovert, maybe not a natural, as it were. Is that something that you guys work on with him as a company? Do you want him to kind of show more of a personality as your leading guy, as the number one player in the world?
Yeah, Damon, great question. You know, what's true in and around our relationships with our athletes is before we even consider partnering with athletes, and we start at a very young age. I think about amateurs right now that are part of TaylorMade's stable of future superstars, whether it's Luke Clanton or Miles Russell, Carl Phillips, who just turned, Michael Thorbjørnsen has his tour card, Asterix, Tally, Megagane. I can go right through the list. It starts with shared values. You know, are we consistent in how we view each other? Do we consistently work toward an advancement in technology that will enhance performance? And quite frankly, do we meet the corporate values and personal values of each of those individuals? Otherwise, we don't even really begin the process. And, you know, when you think about Tiger and Scottie, as different as they may be in terms of who they are as a person and through the lens of the public, these are two of the fiercest competitors in the history of our game. They play and require the highest standard in their product and product performance. They help us design and develop new technologies that not only enhance their play, but they know can further advance performance for players like me or you or anybody that's in the audience right now listening to the Golf Channel, every skill level. And what we always ask of them without any conditions is to be authentic and true to who you are as an individual. Never once would we ask an athlete to be anything but who they are, both personally and then ultimately publicly. So yeah, they're very different individuals, but have very similar objectives in their careers, very similar ethos around the competitive nature and how they embrace this sport and embrace their profession. And that's very consistent with the competitive nature of our company and this constant thirst for innovation to find better pathways to enhance their performance. So those values must align at the amateur level, through the professional ranks, and into athletes like Scottie or Nelly or Tiger or Rory, as I mentioned earlier, for us to really coexist in a really productive way. And we have a term here at TaylorMade. It's called Team TaylorMade. This is one family. This isn't solely about an endorsement deal or endorsement rights. We work together for the betterment of our company and subsequently, we hope, the betterment and performance of all golfers.
David, these appear to be boom times in terms of recreational golf, whereas certainly in the men's professional game, there's a lot of division, not much clarity over the direction of it. I'm curious, are you concerned about the state of men's professional golf, or how closely does that even correlate to your business interests?
Yeah, Eamon, you know, it's interesting. I look at the game of golf through the lens of professional golf and then amateur play and subsequently recreational play. What's very inspiring right now is there's more golf being played around the world, domestically and internationally, than any moment in time in my 25 years in this industry and quite frankly, in the history of golf. More rounds of play, more participation, more diversity in the participation. All of that is fantastic. So, you know, the recreational game, try to get a tee time at a public golf course, try to, you know, get on a waiting list at a private club to get in. That's spectacular. So, you know, that's working extremely well, and that correlates directly into our business because those are the individuals that try and ultimately buy TaylorMade products, and it's resulted in tremendous growth for our company and continued engagements in our audience. The professional game does concern me a little bit, and I think we have stated this publicly. I have said this publicly. There's nothing we'd like more to see the best players in the world playing together more frequently. And we think that that would be a wonderful pathway to supercharge what we see happening in the recreational game right now and create even more interest than what has been created over the course of the past couple of years through this separation between the two tours. So, you know, we've been advocates from the day we started this company, and I wasn't here at the time, 45 years ago, that when the professional game comes together and the best player in the world's play together, it inspires golfers like all of us to embrace the game, lean in on the game, and work in our own rights to advance our own game. So we hope that, you know, given all the activity over the past year or so, that the two tours are finding their way together. And I know there's a lot of work being done on that, and we'd be advocates and supporters of seeing that happen.
David, you also said publicly in 2018 that you had concerns about the potential distance rollback way back in 2017. And you also voiced concerns about the 2028 and 2030 ball rollbacks. Where is the company now? Because I know you've talked about continuing to have conversations, continuing to have a seat at the table.
Yeah, Damon, and as we've mentioned, and thankfully I've been on your show before to express our opinion publicly, and our opinion remains the same. You know, it always rubs up against our TaylorMade DNA when there's a discussion about bringing performance backwards. Because when you're truly an innovator like we are, and we take such tremendous pride and invest behind advanced performance, products that perform better so that players, you know, regardless of where you play or how you play, can enjoy this game a bit more and play a bit better. And, you know, quite frankly, that's the foundation of our ideology here, advanced performance, new innovative technologies in golf to help golfers play the game better. It's why we exist as a company. So anytime we have discussions about rollback or things that we would consider as, to some degree, threats to advanced performance, we get concerned about that. Now, as I mentioned on your show last November, and I think I was on with Rich at the time, we also play by the rules here at TaylorMade. We always have. And so the USGA has made their decision. There certainly continue to be ongoing discussions with other associations and organizations in golf that are interested in our opinion, interested in our data, interested in our technology. But this rule, you know, for 2028 is in place in 2030. We have already begun the process of redesigning new technology in golf ball to not only meet the standard, but also enhance performance. And that's how we think, which is if there's going to be a new rule imposed, and after we have an opportunity to discuss that rule, which we did, even though we were on the opposite side of the rule change, we will adopt the rule, we'll move it into our technology, and we'll find new pathways to ultimately enhance performance in our products. And we are well on our way to do that. We have some time to get there in 2028, 2030 at the recreational level. And that's where we stand right now.
David, it's a busy time, seemingly always a busy time when we speak. We appreciate a few minutes. Enjoy your Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you, gents. Appreciate everything you do for golf.
Well, if you didn't laugh in this game, you'd cry your eyes out. Coming up, we have a guest who's particularly well-equipped for the comic absurdities of golf. Jimmy Fallon usually works the late shift here at NBC, but we got him in early for a little overtime pay. He's on the way. And Jimmy Fallon is usually on our screens in late night, but we slipped him $20 to show up early and tell us about his upcoming TV match against DJ Khaled.
Golf Today.
We're heading into the last half hour here of Golf Today. Eamon Lynch alongside Damon Hack. Damon, who appeared to be getting a little emotional there talking to Keir K. Dixon. When the PGA Tour gets to Napa every year, you do get emotional. It's your spiritual home, and there's a good reason why we don't send you to cover that event, because I think the expense report might actually rival the winner's check.
Yeah, I would surely miss my tea time if I was covering the Pro Court Championship. I love wine, and you want to talk about great Pinot Noir, Cabernet Sauve, it's all there in the Mayacamas, the Napa River. I mean, it is, you know, my wife enjoys it too. It's good bonding for the fam.
That's why the bean counters have you in Stamford.
No doubt. Well, Cab Sauv is the star in Napa. Jimmy Fallon is the star and longtime host of NBC's The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon, having just celebrated 10 years. Of course, the current executive producer of That's My Jam and NBC's Return of Password as well. Four-time Emmy Award winner, started his television career On Saturday Night Live, do you remember as a cast member from 98 to 04, he hosted Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on NBC from 09 to 2014 before taking over the iconic Tonight Show desk from Jay Leno. And guess what? Also loves golf. He and Grammy-nominated producer and record executive DJ Khaled put their golf rivalry to the test when they go head-to-head in the Special Golf Challenge match that will air this Friday, 11:35 p.m. Eastern on NBC. The special will stream the next day on Peacock and air on Golf Channel beginning on Monday, September 16th. Here's a sneak peek.
DJ Khaled, me and you, one-on-one.
Come on, man! He won a golf? Let's go!
Whoa!
When Fallon called me out, I had to represent
Cardigan Classic.
This is bigger than anything that's ever been done.
DJ Khaled, you ready for me to just end this right now?
When we get on that golf course, all I do is win for real.
Let's go! Woo!
And we are pleased to welcome in the host of The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy, it's great to see you. We're all excited about Friday night. This is like Tyson versus Holyfield, but with golf yes. clubs. What can the viewer expect on Friday?
This is, yeah, the biggest sporting event this week by far. Everyone's talking about it. Kids, old ladies, everyone. It is the biggest thing that's happening. What they can expect is an hour of shenanigans. And okay golf, but it's me versus DJ Khaled. And I had this idea, I just wanted to see if, he just looked like someone to be fun to play golf with. And he also looked like someone I could beat.
Well, you did issue the challenge, Jimmy. I'm curious, did your mouth get you into trouble or did your golf game actually back it up here? What can you tell us?
I can tell you that I got my mouth got me into trouble because he really takes it seriously. He's a much better golfer than I am, but he's a gentleman and he's such a great character. Obviously, he's a great producer, but man, he was so funny. He wanted a spiritual advisor to come with him to this match. It's only four holes. The idea is we're playing four holes. There's one mulligan, one breakfast ball. And it moves fast. We have a PGA official just to make sure the rule we all abide by the rules. So it is an actual match. But it was fun. It was actually more pressure than I thought it was going to be.
Well, we know DJ Khaled is passionate about golf. How about you? When did you first pick up clubs? What drew you to this game to begin with?
You know what? My grandfather taught me about this game when I was a kid. And he said it was a great investment to play golf. We actually used to use golf clubs to hold up our tomato plants in our garden, in our backyard. And I was a kid, I go, what are those things? He goes, you don't know golf? And he pulled it out of the soil, and that's how I learned how to play. But in high school, I couldn't really make any of the teams. I auditioned for all, you know, I tried out for baseball and football, I think even, and basketball, couldn't make anything. And then the principal one day at school over the loudspeaker said, hey, if anyone has any interest in golf, we would love to come to the, you know, come to the principal, sign up for the team or else we're going to have to forfeit the team. So I was like, not only am I saving the golf team, but I'm also finally playing a sport in high school. I was very proud of myself.
We were just looking at your swing there. It doesn't look like a swing that would make it on tour, but it is a swing that beat Tiger Woods, correct?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I did beat Tiger Woods in a game of golf. It was a Nintendo Wii golf, but it still counts. The word golf is in the same sentence. And you know what? Actually, he got mad at me. I remember this. Athletes take it very seriously. Any sporting thing, any game. But I remember playing Tiger Woods, and I beat him in his own game because he had Tiger Woods Wii golf. And I remember saying, Tiger, if you press down and shake the controller, it gives you backspin. And he said, don't tell me how to play my game.
Well, you also had Rory McIlroy on your show. You guys did like a chip off. What do you remember about that battle?
That was great. That Tiger was my coach in that one. Actually, we had a chip off. And then what happened was I couldn't find or I didn't have a wedge or something, which is hilarious. I'm playing against him in the chip off. And Rory gave me his sandwich, the beautiful one that he uses, the copper one. And I used that. And the idea was, can we shoot over a mannequin shot of it was like a cardboard cutout of me and landed closer to the hole. And then Tiger went and he landed close to the hole. And then Rory went and hit the ball through the cardboard cutout and almost into the hole, which is impossible to do. I don't know how he did it.
You should have had the cardboard cut out of Rory. It would have been a lot shorter to actually get over with a wedge.
We could have cleared it. Exactly. We did one bit once with Tiger, because he's been a friend of the show, where him and I are in a sand, we're playing, and I'm in a sand trap, and I hit something in the sand, and I tell him I think there's a buried treasure. And so we dig a hole in the sand trap, and we find the buried treasure, and it's like 20% off Bed Bath & Beyond. And we run around like we just won, you know, a giant tournament, and hugging each other, running around. It was ridiculous. But he's a good sport.
You've had a lot of interesting golf guests on the show over the years. Jimmy, who have you not had that you want? Who's the whale that you're chasing still?
I mean, I'm trying to think of who would be fun to have on. I mean, obviously all the legends are great. Ricky Fowler, I think, is fun. He's never, our names are similar. Jimmy, Ricky, I mean, it's hard to be a 50-year-old man named Jimmy, but I am, you know. But I think he's cool, and I like to talk to him. I just like to see people and kind of get in their heads and see what got them into this game, and do they do what we all do? Do we kick ourselves and go, why am I playing this game? I'm not good at this. I'm never going to be a professional golfer. But I do love it. I love the idea of it. I love everything around it. All you need is one good shot, and it keeps you coming back. And if you watch this special Friday night, my first shot is so embarrassing, but so great that I can't wait for everyone to see it. It is so, because you come up. We're playing Tahoe. We played the 17th and 18th hole, and there's a crowd of maybe 2,000, 3,000 people. And they're all yelling, and it's hot out, and everyone's like, ah! And then you get up to the tee box, and it's quiet. And I could feel my heart beating. I go, oh my gosh, I feel like an athlete. Like, what am I doing here? I'm a comedian, you know? And I go, okay, I'm overthinking about my grip and everything, my backswing. And then once you do it, I go, it pulled way to the left. It's so embarrassing. But then it hits a tree and lands on the green. And it's unbelievable. You can't write it. It's unbelievable.
That is a beautiful par three at Edgewood. How about your foil, your antagonist, DJ Khaled? What's he like on the golf course? He's very loud on Instagram when he's yelling straight down the middle. What's he like competing against?
He's so fun. You know, it all came together so quickly, and that's why I just thought it'd be fun to do something silly and almost like a Why World of Sports type of thing, you know, that I grew up with, you know, or Bob Hope or, you know, Bing Crosby or something. Just go out there and just see if it could be funny and have a good couple laughs. So it's only four holes, and man, he goes crazy. He yells, he talks crap. He then he wants a time where he meditates, and then he gets a massage before the match and wanted the cameras to come into his room during his massage. And he's talking smack to me through that, you know, the hole in the massage table where your head's sticking through the thing. And it's the funniest thing. He's such a good guy. He's a good dad, and he's a good person to play around with. It's definitely entertaining. And our games are similar. So it's close. It's a close match.
I still think you're holding out on us here, Jimmy. I have a feeling that DJ actually whooped you in this match. So we've been trying to figure out who would be the candidates for your next challenge match. We've got a couple of candidates here just to see if you think you can actually beat them. Here's our first one. Justin Timberlake. We know you've played with him. You hang out with him. Can you beat him?
Absolutely not. He is so good. He is so good. I'm a good partner for him because we play a scramble or something, and that's... He saves me. Basically, he plays the match. I mean, I don't do anything. I entertain him. I, you know, play music in the golf cart, and I make him laugh. And we goof off. I mean, I will say I've gotten some of my best shots of my life playing with him because he's so good. He ups your game, you know. You know, I hope I don't bring him down too much when I play golf with him. But, you know, I keep him entertained, and we laugh the whole time. But he's so good. And he gets in that zone, too, where... He's like a perfectionist. Like, there's like, just talk about athletes for a second. I remember we had Drew Brees on the show, and we had a game where I was like throwing plates up in the air and seeing if you could break it with a football, you know? And it was him versus Taylor Lautner, who's a great actor who's in the Twilight movies. And so I throw the first plate, and Taylor Lautner smashes the plate with a football. Great. I throw it for Drew Brees. He misses the plate. Okay, so that's 1-0, Taylor. Then I throw the second plate, and Taylor Lautner breaks the second plate. The first one of three wins this. All of a sudden, Drew Brees is not having fun anymore. He's like, red laser beams came out of his eyes. He was like hopping up and down, and he was like, whew. And before I even got rid of the plate, it would explode in my hand. He was not letting this actor beat him at a thing. So I think of that athlete mentality. It was one of the coolest, craziest things I've ever seen in a human being ever do. I go, wow, these guys are real. They're real athletes. It's amazing. So Justin would crush me in a game of golf. But we play all the time. You know, there's a fun kind of par three kind of public course by where I live. And one afternoon we were watching golf channel, and we go, let's go play somewhere. You go, there's a par three right by a public course right here. He's like, let's go. We just left. We went in, played this. It was nine holes. We finished in like 30 minutes and then came back and watched more TV.
That's fantastic. Great story. So you can't beat Justin Timberlake. What about the other Jimmy in nighttime television? Jimmy Kimmel. Can you beat Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon?
I think I could beat Jimmy Kimmel. I don't even know if he plays golf, which is the only reason I would challenge him, knowing that he doesn't play. I mean, I don't think he does play golf, but he is from Vegas. There's a lot of golf in Vegas, so I don't know if I would win on that one. You know what? I might lose on that one as well. I don't know. So, all right, I'm 0 for 2. I wouldn't challenge either of these people.
Well, I feel confident you'll win the third one, Jimmy. We're going to throw up
here. Is it a cartoon?
Almost a cartoon character in some way. Some people would say yes. It's our Golf Channel analyst and favorite pint-sized provocateur, Brandel Chamblee. Even I've beaten this guy, Jimmy. Surely you can take down Chamblee.
No, I can't. I can't take that. Are you kidding me? The legend. I couldn't go near. Why would I tarnish his reputation? You know, and and it hurt his feelings. You know, I feel like he's a sensitive individual, and I wouldn't want to do that to his ego. You know, on a par three, yeah, maybe. You know, I could do it, but again, he's too much of a legend for me to go near. I would stay far, far, far away. Again, you got to go. For the next Cardigan Classic, if you do it again, you got to go way down the list. I'd like to challenge someone who's never played the game.
Don't sell yourself short. Jimmy, yeah, he could beat us pretty handily. Listen, bud, we'll all be watching Friday, 11:35 p.m. Eastern on NBC.
You guys are the best. Let's do it.
Let's do it. You're the best. Thanks, Jimmy, and good luck. We'll be watching.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.